Scripture reading today is taken from Judges chapter 16, verses 1 to verse 5. Judges chapter 16, verses 1 to verse 5. One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn we'll kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret to his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning.
Well, good morning again. I know you just saw me speak and sing, but good morning and hello, family online. So how have you all been going with giving up the bad habit and picking up the good? We've got a fail. Got any I forgot? Yeah, we've got a few I forgots. What was that, Alan? Oh, he quite often forgets. Awesome. If you remember my first sermon in this sermon series about habits, you remember we looked at... I'm really nervous today. Everyone out in the world, I'm very, very nervous today. I have no idea why, but it's tripping me up. So I'm just going to stop, breathe, pray, and then I'm going to get on with it. Let's pray. Lord God, this is your word this morning, and I just ask that you would calm me, that I might speak into the lives of those people listening this morning. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen. This is our third week of the Habits series in the sermon series that we're doing. And I know that's got nothing to do with Father's Day, but we decided we wouldn't interrupt the sermon series. Today we're looking at stopping the bad, soul-destroying habit and finding a way to develop the habit that improves our lives and honours our God. Now, if you remember my last sermon, it was the one about no one destroys their life overnight. It kind of happens slowly and little bad decision after little bad decision, and then one day you wake up and your life's a mess. One of our mates in the Bible, Samson, made a poor choice. One day, Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. One sentence summarizes the beginning of the downward spiral of Samson's life. One day, Samson went to Gaza and he saw a prostitute. One day, one bad decision. Now, Gaza is 40 kilometers from Samson's home. Gaza was the Philistine headquarters where Samson was public enemy number one. They wanted him dead. They couldn't work out how to kill him, but that didn't stop them wanting him dead. In order to go to Gaza was to put his life at risk. Who's ever felt like they've gone somewhere and put their life at risk? No, none of us. We live here, don't we? We do what we like. We go where we like, relative safety. What we know about Samson and the time in which he lived, there was no Uber, there was no taxi, there was no bus, no train. So he walked. So we can assume that perhaps one option Samson might have had was to, he walked 40 kilometers from his home to Gaza, straight into enemy territory. Now, you can take the enemy territory however you like. Satan laying in wait for him. The Philistines actually laying in wait for him. Do you know how many steps are in 40 kilometres? I looked it up for you. 56,250 steps between his home in Zora and Gaza. So if you're looking to improve your step intake, just quick walk over to Ipswich for you. Oh, but then you've got to come back. Oh, that's a lot of stepping. What's that? Get an Uber. I'm saying Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. Yet, in the instance he took 56,250 steps in a direction that would begin the downward spiral of bad decision-making and the lack of control. In the same way, most of us don't ruin our lives overnight. We don't wake up one morning and say, you know what, that's it, I'll just make all the bad decisions today, get it over and done with, I'm just going to have a horrible life from here on till I end. Nobody really does that. We do it in small decision-making, one bad one at a time. But we also can do the other, can't we? Great life outcomes due to small, great decisions. Before we talk about the habits, the ones we want to pick up, the ones we want to put down, we want to talk about who we want to become. And it doesn't matter if you're 12 or if you're 200 years old. If you're still living, you can still become who God has always meant you to become. Who do you want to be? Who does God want you to be? Is it a godly father, a godly grandfather, a godly mother or grandmother, a great example to students you go to school with, a person who's really healthy, a person who's generous, a person who's sober, someone who's clean? Who do you want to be? Always start with who you want to become, and then one excellent decision, one excellent habit after another will start an incredible journey of becoming who God had always planned for you to be. Ask yourself which negative habit you're willing to break to be able to become that person, the better version of who you are now. James in our scripture says, get rid of them all. Get rid of every filthy habit and all wickedness. Maybe we don't think about our habits as filthy or wicked. Maybe we've never thought about our habits. We need to acknowledge it. We need to define it. You cannot defeat what you cannot define. If you try to quit all your habits at once, you won't quit any habits at any time. That is an effort that is far too ridiculously hard. One at a time is what matters. The one you choose to start with is your first step to a better life. Have you ever noticed in the thinking about habits for the last few weeks, there is a difference yet similarity between a good habit starting and a bad habit finishing? A good habit is challenging at first, and then you get the payoff. For example, exercise is the pits. It's just woeful, and I very much hate exercise, because I can't see the win at the beginning. It's like if you're running a marathon, which obviously I'm not going to do. If you're running a marathon, you can't see the finish line from the start line. You're just going out in faith that it's going to be there when you get there. When you run 42 kilometres, there it will be. And I did watch somebody run a marathon once, and he was a mess at the end, but with the big happy face, because he set out his goal to run the marathon, and as much as he had boogers everywhere, tears everywhere, his body was shuddering, he was so thrilled that he finished and he made it to the end. The uphill battle is the training. The uphill battle is the making the decision every day to go and run, every day to make sure he was physically ready to go. And he couldn't see the end from the beginning. None of us can. And in the same way for ending a bad habit, you can't see the win from the start. You can't see that not smoking is going to improve your lung capacity, your general feeling of wellness. Your skin will look better. Your hair won't, whatever hair does, reek. Your hair won't be dry and brittle. Your teeth will be much nicer or whatever. I don't smoke, but I'm just going off the packets of cigarettes. You can't see the benefits of the good decision at the start of the good decision. It just feels hard. And you can't see the benefits of changing that at the start. It just feels really difficult. But there is the payoff. The payoff is out there in the future. And the future might just be a year from now and you're, oh, I've run every day for a year and I'm 20 kilos less or whatever that equates to. But you can't see that at the start. If you think about it, some endings of the bad habit do start the new habit. Let's take excessive drinking, for example. If you choose, I now wish to be a sober person, stopping drinking is also starting sobering. Sobering? That's not a word. Starting a sober life. I also have it on good authority. It is very hard. But the payoff is incredibly beneficial and worthwhile. And we could say that about just about every habit that we've got. I would not like to start exercising, yet I currently don't have any choice. I have to start. And I know that the payoff is in my future, but I know my current walking or whatever it is I choose is not going to be comfortable to start with. Going to be awful. But the bad habit is making excuses of why I can't or shouldn't. There are many steps to putting in a new habit. And the first thing is prayer. You may need to pray 100 times over the new habit. Every day. You mainly need to pray once. But I think willpower is not enough sometimes. Sheer grunt to get a new habit started is not enough. You're going to have to pray over it. And the prayer will carry you through the habit-forming stage. The scripture tells us, don't set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn from it. And go your own way. Don't follow what others are doing just because it looks easier or fun or a better outcome. And sometimes our struggles are triggered in us, aren't they? It's like I had a horrible time in high school, and so every time I have got to go to my children's high school, I walk through the front gate and I just get this horrible feeling that I had for the whole 6 years I was at high school. And so when the school rings me and says, my child is coughing, could I come and get him? Or my child has sneezed during the day, could I come and get him? I go and get him, but as fast as I can, I go and get him. And I just dart straight back out of the school. It's almost like I put my head in and say, I'm here. And they go, oh, mum's here. And then we run out. I can't. It triggers in me something negative. So often our excuses and our bad habits and things that are negative come from being triggered by something in our past. I obviously haven't given that part of my past over to God to deal with. One thing that triggers my unhealthy eating is the smell of hot chips covered in chicken salt. Mmm. I also love the smell of bakeries and hot bread. Any other takers? Bakeries, hot bread. Bacon. We've got bacon over here. Anyone else with a food? John, bacon. and bacon. Bacon's the thing, salty and fatty, and that's what you can smell and eat, and it's delicious. Perhaps you're in the habit of stress eating. Who's a stress eater? We've got no stress eaters. No reason I'm here, just eating. Excellent. I can be a stress eater. Each of you will have your own trigger, something that will force you back into your bad habit because it's easy. Stepping back into old rhythms is much easier than staying on the path that God has set, the planned path, the way to be a better you, a healthier you, and the you were always meant to be. We can take control of the triggers. We pray. We surround ourselves with like-minded people. We make the decision. We're not going to drink 14 cups of coffee today, just 13. Then the next day you might only drink 12. And so it goes on. Turn your triggers into positive outcomes and let those positive outcomes become a benefit to you and glory to God. Let's stop hitting the snooze button on the best life that we can have. Let's decide today to be God-honoring in all we do and all the habits that we form. Scripture says, you've never been tempted in any way that's uncommon, which is good news for us because we're all together. We're all being tempted by the same method. No one in this room is going to go, oh, yes, but I was tempted in this way and no one else has been. We've all been tempted the same way. Our God is faithful. He will never let us be tempted beyond that which you can bear. Even though sometimes you think, you know what, I can't take this anymore. If you wake up the next day, apparently you can take this another day. God has given us a way out, and of course, our way out is Christ Jesus. Think about Samson, 56,250 steps in the wrong direction. It was also 56,250 opportunities to stop, turn around, and say, this isn't who I want to be. I want to become something better than this. This isn't the life we have to have. God has created us for something more, something better. Zechariah says, do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices in the work begun. So if you've ever sat in church thinking, oh, I can't do much for God, all I do is this small bit over here in the church, think back to Zechariah. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Never underestimate how God can start something special through something small. Babies are small, aren't they? And special. So this morning, I want you to think about those special moments between you and God where you actually have said to him, there isn't much I can do for you. My prayer warrior team think that there isn't much they can do for church except praying is the number one thing that you can do. It's the ultimate thing. It's the best habit you can be in is to pray for those who work, because the prayer warrior team used to be the ones who worked and others prayed for them. Now they're the prayer warrior team while everyone else works. And one day we will be the prayer warrior team while others younger than us work. That's the cycle of the family of God. That's the habit to get into. Let's make excellent habits to honour our God, to give us our best life. This morning, as the song plays, I encourage you to take this moment to reflect upon, are you using your life the best way you can? Are you praying that your habits will be honoring to God this morning? Let's sing together. Let's be in contemplative prayer and song this morning.